Dreams really do come true, at least for Joseph. It had been a good 20 years since teenage Joseph had a dream of his brothers that would one day bow down before him. And tonight we see 10 of those brothers down on their knees before Joseph with their faces to the ground. You see, they were hungry. The whole world was hungry. Pharaoh's dreams about 7 years of plenty had come to pass, and now 7 years of famine were underway. It was all happening just as Joseph had dreamed and foreseen. Dreams really do come true. But for Joseph's brothers, a nightmare was about to begin. For 2 decades, they had been living a lie. For 20 years had passed, they had been hiding a deep, dark secret. They had sold their own brother into a life of slavery and misery. They had lied to their father, had broken old Jacob's heart by telling him that Joseph was dead. Their hatred had its way with Joseph, and they smugly concealed their sin. But now they were bowing down before Joseph, second in command of all Egypt, whom they did not recognize. And soon they would be chased, hounded, and tortured by their own guilty conscience. I'm sure you know what a conscience is. Your conscience is not always perfectly reliable. It is not infallible, but it is a good gift from God. The early church was much better at helping Christians to cultivate a healthy conscience, to give attention to the condition of their conscience. They had this bit of wisdom that the conscience was like a window through which you view the world around you. Your conscience is your window on the world. A bad or guilty conscience is much like a dirty window. And maybe the windows at our houses might be very dirty right now because they bear the grit and grime of winter that keeps coming back. And perhaps spring cleaning has not yet begun. This means that when we look out our windows, everything looks a little darker and faded than it really is. Instead of a crisp, bright clarity, things are hazy and smudgy. And maybe you have noticed that the dirtier the window is, the more you see your own reflection in that window. A bad or guilty conscience affects your view of the world in just the same way. When you are concealing some shameful conduct, when you are being chased by a bad conscience, your whole world begins to look dirty and dark. In fact, it looks like everything is just after you. You get a little paranoid, scared of your own shadow. And the harder you try to look off into the distance for escape, the more you simply see yourself and the reflection of your own sin and shame as in a dirty window. If we conceal and cover up our sin. Or in the words of 1 John, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The key word there is cleanse. If a guilty conscience is like a dirty window, then repentance is when the Lord cleanses the window of the conscience so that we can see the world bathe in the crystal clarity of our Lord's light, life, and love. Repentance restores reality to our worldview. Confession and absolution is the only solution for a wounded, fearful conscience. But the journey from a bad conscience to a clean conscience is not easy. In fact, it's a journey we cannot make without our Lord's help. And this help from the Lord is not always what you might imagine. A conscience that's smug and comfortable cannot be cleansed. God's law must do its work. This is why Joseph initially acts so harshly with his brothers. This is why Joseph doesn't reveal himself to his brothers right away. This is why Joseph treats them like strangers and speaks roughly to them. This is why Joseph puts them through their paces and brings their sin to remembrance, even when they say that one of their brothers was no more. And he was right there in front of them. These brothers have a classic case of dirty conscience. Luther frames it like this. He writes, thus, the sons of Jacob have an evil conscience. Therefore, they tremble horribly and fear God's vengeance. But the situation of the brothers is even more serious. Their collective conscience is in a critical condition, causing them to dread what lies around every corner. So Luther continues, these brothers are not only troubled about the sin of which they were conscious, although they took pains to cover and conceal it, but they were also afraid of all their words and deeds. And they imagined that there was new guilt in every action or thought. In fact, as soon as Joseph demanded that they go and fetch their youngest brother and bring him down to Egypt, they say to one another this, in truth, we are guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the distress of his soul when he begged us, and we did not listen. That's why this distress has come upon us. And to all this, Reuben replied, now there comes a reckoning for his blood. Now there comes a reckoning for his blood. The diagnosis could not be clearer. The symptoms are manifest. These brothers are being chased by a dirty conscience. Now, it seems to them that they are getting their just punishment. Their sin is coming back to bite them. Bad karma comes calling. Justice is about to be served. Revenge and retribution are closing in quickly. But in reality, what feels so painful to them is neither karma nor punishment. Joseph isn't just toying with them. They are simply being led down the road of repentance. The pain they feel so sharply will lead to purity. Their conscience is being crushed so that it might be cleansed of sin. Like Joseph's brothers, we too know what it feels like to be chased by a guilty conscience. To have our view of the world clouded and smudged by the stain of our own sin. Reuben was right. Reuben was right when he spoke about a reckoning for the blood. Reckoning for the blood. Reuben's restless conscience sensed that a bloody reckoning was coming, that their sin would have to be answered for by the shedding of blood. And Reuben did not know how right he was. It is also true for us. Our sin must be answered for. It cannot be covered up forever. Either you must answer for your sin and face the fallout, or your Savior must answer for it and bear it all away. What Reuben could only sense, we know for certain. We see it play out before our eyes in this holy season of Lent, as we look back to the bloody reckoning that Jesus endured in our stead. Although he was pure and sinless, his blood was shed to pay for our sin. He endured the pain of the cross so that you might know purity and peace. He was crushed so that you might be cleansed of every sin. Jesus has answered for all your sin. The only question is whether you have the faith to believe that. In tonight's reading from the Passion according to St. Luke, we hear about the scene involving Jesus and Barabbas. Barabbas was a rebel. Today, we probably would call him a terrorist. He was a murderer who had shed the blood of innocent people. He was guilty on all counts and was about to receive a reckoning for all his evil acts. But at the insistence of the crowd, guilty Barabbas goes free. And innocent Jesus is delivered over to death. The man who shed innocent blood goes free, and the innocent man goes to the cross to shed his innocent blood so that you can be cleansed of all unrighteousness. This is God's remedy for the tragedy of our sin. So the Lord Jesus has a gift for you. The gift of a clean conscience. The Lord Jesus has a gift for you. The gift of a clean conscience. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You don't have to be chased and hounded by a dirty conscience. You can live each day in the bright clarity of our Lord's forgiveness and peace. You don't have to be afraid of the truth. Jesus Christ has answered for your sins. Justice has been served on the cross. And your conscience has been cleansed by His holy, precious blood. Your conscience has been cleansed by His holy, precious blood. In His name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.